Yeah, and it's great to have this opportunity this morning to feature CAP. Thank you very much, church, and to celebrate everything that God's doing through this ministry. I'll start with... Okay. It's a reading from Psalm 25. In you, Lord my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame. But shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Let me introduce you to Stuart. Following an accident, Stuart was left severely immobile and unable to work. Bets mounted, and he found himself searching through supermarket bins for food. At his lowest point, he was on the brink of suicide. Right now, 14 million people in this nation of ours, like Stuart, are living in poverty. Through my involvement with Food Bank and over this last year working with CAP, I know that real hardship is alive and well, even here in Rutland. So please, let's not be under any illusions about that. Poverty arrives like a illness in the family, draining the life out of you until you've nothing left to give. You have no power to change your situation, and it can grind you down until there's hardly a flicker of hope left. We see it time and time again. Christians Against Poverty works with churches just like ours all over our country with broken people whose lives have been devastated by poverty, be it through debt, unemployment, dependencies, or simply low income. And as you've heard from Richard, CAP can make a huge difference. What's unique then? What's unique? What unique ingredient does CAP have that changes the lives of thousands of people? What do we as OBC, a partner church, carry? And the answer is hope. Every single person in this country who struggles with debt is desperately in need of hope. That's why CAP's core message is always hope. It permeates everything that we do. As Christians, we're all carriers of hope because Jesus is with us. Hope is with us wherever we go. But when we meet them in their situation, for our clients, hopelessness is very real. They can't help themselves get out of debt. They feel like there's no way out, no way out on their own. Recently, in Stanford Job Center got in touch with Simon. They thought we might be able to help a man who lives in Rutland, who's really struggling with depression, and his universal credit had been stopped, and they needed him to get himself into Stanford so that they could interview him and help him out. As we learnt later, he'd not only got debt, he actually had not a penny in the bank. I was away at the time, and when I called him that evening, he was at his wit's end. He explained to me that he had depression and anxiety, and it was such that he couldn't go anywhere at all where there were people. In fact, he told me that he couldn't even go to, you know, I said depression, but go to the doctor. He said he can't even go to the doctor because he can't sit in the waiting room because there are people there. He was effectively a prisoner in his own home. And as we talked that evening, he kept mentioning going out and stringing himself up. I asked him about his faith. He told me he was agnostic and he'd lost whatever faith he had a long time ago. As we continued to talk over the phone, he allowed me to pray with him and through prayer to let him know that no matter how he felt about himself, however hopeless he felt the situation was, God loved him. God loves him. And I promised to bring him a food parcel the next day. But I was still so concerned about him. I thought, I can't. What can I do? There I was, a long way away. I called the Samaritans, and to cut a long story short, they did speak with him that evening. Next day, I was driving back from Leeds, where I'd been working. He called me specifically to tell me not to come to his house because he wouldn't be there. He was in a secure psychiatric unit in Leicester. He tried to kill himself that night. Praise God, the emergency services had intervened. And I don't know for sure, but I believe God's hand was on him that night, even in his attempt to commit suicide. And I've just told you, amazingly, the first thing he thought to do at 10:30 the next morning was to call me to say he wouldn't be at home. I'm praying that he will reconnect when he's back in the community and we can help him out. Like Cap, we all in OBC know that the local church is the hope of the world. We are Jesus' hands and feet, and Jesus is the ultimate hope bringer. And this morning, I'm going to invite you individually to join with us in the ministry of CAP, helping local people in their lives. So, let's take a look at our understanding of hope and what it truly means. Psalm 43 encourages those without hope with these words. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. The Greek word for hope is elpis, which means to anticipate with pleasure and confidently expect. Dictionary definition for hope is a feeling of expectation and a desire for a particular thing to happen. Now, even though these definitions may, at a quick cursory glance seem pretty similar, there's quite a difference between the two of them, between what the Bible defines as hope and what the world defines as hope. In fact, I would go as far as to say they actually contrast one another. The world's hope is rooted in desire, which means the outcome of what is hoped for is uncertain. Our hope is anchored in Jesus. We place our hope in him with confident expectation. And what shows up when Cap arrives in someone's life, that's it. It's different, actually, to probably anything our clients have experienced before, and it cuts through the debilitating chaos of poverty. And it's this hope, isn't it, that allows us as Christians to keep going when things get tough in our lives. And it's this same hope in Jesus Christ that gives freedom to those in debt and poverty. God does this by using people like you and me, as his hands and feet, allowing his body, the church, to stand as the hope of the world. And if the world is looking for hope, let that hope be found in us. Let's watch Brian's story and see firsthand exactly what hope looks like when it walks in the door. I'm going to highlight four messages of hope that Kat brings into our clients' lives. And the first is this: you are not alone. Writing to the church in Corinth, Paul says, "And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so you also share in our comfort." Our hope for you is firm. Some people in their darkest moments honestly believe that they're destined to live trapped in poverty forever. They feel isolated and hopeless, resigned to their loneliness, lonely life in debt. "I'll be in debt as long as I live." That's what they're thinking. When Simon and I, with our befrienders, go into people's homes and sit alongside a client, we shine a light into that situation. When we speak kindly with them and tell hurting people that no problem is too big, it can blow their minds. And we tell them there is always, always a route out of debt. And when we return with a budget that gives them a reasonable amount to live on for food, they can't believe it sometimes. And more importantly, they're no longer isolated and alone. And if the shame and guilt, and sometimes it's there, it starts to gently lift. They realize that Cap completely understands the horrific difficulties they're going through, and it's a huge reassurance. However, the thing that really opens the door to let hope in is that we arrive with that confident expectation that Paul referred to, that firm hope he talked about, and a lasting hope that things will change for the better. They feel safe and supported, and hope walks in. Secondly, Cap's service works. It really does. Job 5:16 says, "So the poor have hope, and injustice shuts its mouth." For many of our clients, especially everything that's happened to them, sort of screams failure, misery. Many of them been ripped off in their lives and let down by the system. And it's all beyond hope. We hear client after client saying, I've tried everything. I can't believe this will work. But we show them the truth is very different. When we take away those piles of confusing paperwork and bills and return with a workable budget, and our client no longer receives calls from creditors or bailiffs knocking on the door, hope walks in. CAP helps more than 23,000 people every year through their various services. Simon and I right now have current clients, something like 50, 55 clients. And each year, 2,500 families or individuals go debt-free. These are people for whom, just a few weeks before CAP came into their lives, were utterly desperate, hardly able to feed their family. And CAP never pays anyone's debts for them, just demands justice and helps them as they work their way out of debt. CAP's two other services, Fresh Starts and Life Skills, help a further 600 people across the UK every year, and the numbers are growing. Life Skill equips people with practical skills and new ways to live on a low income, while Fresh Start helps people to find freedom from life-controlling dependencies like drugs and alcohol. The life skills course runs in Stamford, and we hope before long we can run it in Rutland. Why not? We just need committed people to run it. And our clients realize that CAP services work. They're trusted, they're tested, they're proven. And what they believe to be impossible through this becomes a possibility. Hope walks in. Thirdly, third message, we believe in you. Jeremiah 29:11. I'm sure you know it very well. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to give you hope and a future. For too many of our clients, all they've ever heard is that they'll never amount to much. But Jeremiah 29:11 tells us God has plans for us that will give us hope and a future. And then Philippians 4:13 tells us the most amazing truth, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We offer prayer when we visit people, and we assure them that they are precious in God's sight. We tell them, you've got a debt-free future, and we believe in you. Because of CAP's commitment to equip local churches to reach people, every client that connects with CAP has access to a Christian community like ours. To catch them when they stumble, to tell them that God loves them more than they can imagine. When broken people are told about God, their God-given value, hope walks in. And the fourth message, the hope of salvation. Psalm 25 confirms that we have a God we can trust, and there is hope. Verse 5, guard me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and hope is in you all day long. No life is beyond Jesus' redeeming power. You know it, I know it, but our clients may not even believe in God or have some strange idea about Christian people. Maybe they've not even heard the Christian message. Maybe they've never heard the gospel. No one's ever taken the message to them. But we do, and our service is free and open to all. When Christians living a life that reflects Jesus, people see it, people feel it, people understand it. When we go the extra mile, it's tangible. God magnifies everything that CAP brings and creates hope in people's lives. CAP people, Christians just like you, not only bring hope, but they leave hope. And the hope we leave does not disappoint. As a result of CAP's work, more than 1,000 people make a personal commitment to Jesus every year. That's the equivalent of several new churches, isn't it? Year on year, CAP is a ministry that's seeing God's kingdom brought to earth, and today I'm inviting you to become part of it. So, as we move to wrap things up, praise God that we have this opportunity to support CAP here in Rutland. First, can I ask you all, please, to hold CAP in your prayers, please. Can I ask you to do that? Can you pray for our clients? I don't know how many of you were here not so long ago when Peter Mansey spoke to us and preached on Mark 9. Can you remember that one? When he said these very powerful words. Prayerlessness leads to powerlessness. Do you remember that? Prayerlessness leads to powerlessness. The context was the disciples. Jesus has been transfigured on the high mountain. He comes down with Peter, James, and John, finds the other disciples, and they're in debate or argument with the preachers of the law. And they're saying, why can't you drive out this devil? And Jesus remarks, this kind will only come out by prayer. As Peter Mance explained to us, there's a hint there that the disciples were prayerless and reliant upon their own self-sufficiency. Prayerlessness leads to powerlessness. And I tell you, I've come to know that over this past year in spades. All right? In your own strength, you can do little, can you? And I can tell you, opposite the clients that we come into contact who are in complex situations that have probably been developing over years. 90% of the cases, there are mental health issues involved. Each and every one of our clients needs God's touch of miracle in their life. We need the prayers. So number one request, you please, please pray for our CAP ministry and for our clients. I actually issue a monthly newsletter, come prayer letter, and you know, welcome anyone to join that circulation. Secondly, Richard mentioned it, keep your ears open for the word debt, problem debt, people struggling with debt, and point their way towards CAP. Be a hope bringer for those people. And thirdly and finally, please consider your own time and talent. Your own time and talent. Can you help with this ministry? Could you be a befriender? We need more befrienders. Christian people like you here in OBC, connected with the church, who can go out and meet with our clients. Remember that man that I talked about in Rutland, the guy I spoke to on the phone? Well, as I was driving back from Leeds that day, I was asking myself, who can go with me? I need a man to go with me. It could be that I need to go into that guy's house, and talk with him. Who would go with me? I didn't actually have anyone I could call, because my befrienders are either in full-time work or flying planes and in India, somewhere like that. So I need more befrienders, people who are accessible during the daytime. Can you help me? And finally, no, that's it. That's finally it. Finally, it's it. So in closing, just again, thank you so much to OBC for the support you've given over this year and you know, for the future. Please pray.